Welcome to episode 150 of Industry Misinterpretations with James Robertson and Michael Lucas Smith. This week we've got Juan Vultich, who is the author of QS, a squeak fork that is focused on shrinking down squeak into a kernel implementation to make things simpler, easier, and more enjoyable to work with, and as a foundation for building up from. If you have feedback on this or any other episode of Industry Misinterpretations, please send it to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com. You can also head on over to iTunes and leave a comment for us. We would really appreciate it if you did that. You can head on over to Podcast Alley, cast a vote for the podcast. And of course, you can interact with us in the Industry Misinterpretations group at Facebook and the Small Talkers group at Ning. This is James Robertson, CINCOM Small Talk Product Evangelist. I'm here with Michael Lucas Smith, the lead on our Web Velocity project. And I've also got Juan Vultich, which I'm probably mangling, but he's the developer of, I think it's QS. You can tell us how that's pronounced in a moment, a squeak fork. Juan?
Hi. Well, we pronounce it quiz, actually, in Spanish.
But what does it mean?
It's the local popular name for the guinea pig.
Aha. That's kind of cute. I like that. It's much shorter than the guinea pig.
Yes, yes. Guinea pigs are rodents. They are nice people like them. They are good as pets. They are good as laboratory animals.
And they're good as a fork of squeak.
They are even good as food for many people. So it can be used for anything. It's good for everything, just like my fork of squeak wants to be.
Where are you based?
I live in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Aha, cool.
Okay, so I guess, have you been to the Smalltalks 2008 conference and intending to attend the Smalltalks 2009 conference then?
Yes, and I also attended to the first one that was 2007.
Okay.
Yeah, I gave a talk there.
Oh, okay.
What did you think of it? Was it good?
Yes, they are very, very good. There is a lot of people, close to 200. There are many very good talks. It's a great time to meet a lot of people. You know, there are a lot of people doing small talk in Buenos Aires and in Argentina, and many of us know each other, but we don't meet often. So it is a great time to meet a lot of people, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, GUIS, is that how you say it?
Yes, GUIS.
Aha, cool. So why, I guess, is the big question. Why fork squeak?
Well,
I know it's the thing to do, but...
you know, okay, great. Well, in a sense, it is to do what Dan Ingalls promised he would be doing around 2000, and then when the Squeak Central team left Disney, that was never done. The eToys system was done as an experimental implementation on Squeak. And Squeak Central said this very clearly at that time. It was meant to be replaced with a cleaner system later. That never happened. And as time went by, people keep adding new layers of complexity on top of the previous one to Squeak. So Squeak currently has a lot of layers of complexity, and people only get to know the topmost. So there is a lot of stuff beneath there that cries for cleanup. I was really missing the simplicity of the first versions of Squeak and of Smalltalk 80. And when I started a project of my own, I couldn't help it, and I started removing the things I didn't like in Squeak. This was about 5 years ago, and I never stopped.
So this predates Pharaoh?
Yes, for a lot of years. Pharaoh is about 2 years old. Quiz is about 5 years old.
How come we haven't heard of this before then? Because Pharaoh, I guess, somehow has a PR machine behind it. Because everybody knows about Pharaoh. But
yes, this is because I kept it for myself until this year. It didn't even have a name. It was a My Squeak Image. And this year, last year, I did a lot of work on it because I started a pretty big project for me based on it, on My Squeak Image. And this gave me a lot of time to work out a lot of details and to clean a lot and to make it a lot better. So this year, about March, I guess, I thought this is good enough for other people to see. Maybe it is time now to publish it. Hmm. In fact, I thought about it on February when I was on vacations. When I am on vacations, I always plan my projects for the rest of the year. It's a great time. When you are away from problems, from the everyday little problems, and you can think a bit longer term what you want to do. So I decided it was a good time to give it to other people too.
So why would somebody pick GUIS over Pharaoh at this point? Is there something particularly compelling about GUIS over Pharaoh, or are they really similar, or is Pharaoh just really far behind GUIS?
The objectives of Pharaoh and GUIS are pretty different. I believe the objectives of Pharaoh and Squeak are far closer. Squeak is very different. My objectives are very different. And so for someone who takes a close look at it, it should be obvious if it's what he wants or not. The focus on Squeak is on simplicity. All I want is a clean Smalltalk 80. The same basic functionality as in Smalltalk 80, but with, of course, modern software. I don't want MVC. I have a cleaned-up version of Morphic as the user interface. But I don't want a big system with lots of functionality that tries to include everything ever done by anybody. I want just the most basic functionality. In fact, I believe that Quiz could be a very good kernel for building an ecosystem of optional packages on top of it. Then that system comprised of a small kernel and a lot of packages could compete with Pharaoh or Squeak, or even become the next Pharaoh or the next Squeak. I just want to focus on the small kernel and to make it as good as I can. I would very much like other people to start building and maintaining optional packages for it. You know, when Pharaoh started, they said they wanted to build a small kernel and a set of optional packages for it. Then they focused on the optional packages and left the kernel for the future, for another time. I only care about the kernel.
Hmm. So what version of Squeak is this based on right now? I mean, you've been working on this image for a while. What version of Squeak are you on?
I started with Squeak 3.7, but right now it is not closer to Squeak 3.7 than to any other version of Squeak. There are two reasons. One is that I changed really a lot of things, so it doesn't look like 3.7 anymore. And the other reason is that I am following as closely as I can the development of Squeak, and I bring a lot of fixes from Squeak to Quiz. So
what about the licensing stuff? You surely you need all the licensing changes.
Yes, Quiz is MIT clean. I took the work Yoshiki had done for Squeak, and I removed any code that wasn't license clean. I don't have any documents for that. I trust the documents viewpoints holds from all the contributors. So Quiz only includes code from contributors who signed the agreement with viewpoints. So it is as MIT clean as it is, for example.
Now, you mentioned Morphic, and I saw on your website Morphic 3. You're the Morphic 3 guy, right?
Yes, I am.
I mean, that's a pretty big project, isn't it?
Yes, it is pretty big. You know, the start of what now is Quiz was Morphic 3. I took the latest Squeak at that time, that was 3.7, and I started to remove stuff. I started by removing the toys and by cleaning Morphic to bring it to a simplicity state where I could morph it into Morphic 3. So the origin of Quiz is Morphic 3. But this last year or couple of years, I've been working a lot on Quiz and on some commercial projects with it, and I'm not working that much in Morphic 3, mostly because of lack of time. But it is my pet project, yes.
Okay, so what is Morphic 3 compared to current Morphic?
Well, the main idea of Morphic 3 is to forget about the pixel. I mean that the specification of the user interface is done in abstract coordinate systems. That sounds a bit strange or complicated, but it is simpler for the programmer. It means that the programmer can choose what coordinate system he wants to use, and he doesn't need to care about the display resolution.
Well, that's the way the new graphics system in Windows works. That's the way the Mac OS X graphics system works. That's the way Cairo graphics works, and that's the way OpenGL and DirectX work as well.
I agree that Cairo kind of works that way, and OpenGL, but what other technologies you mentioned? Mac OS X?
Yeah.
Mac OS X is not pixel independent at all.
Yeah, you sure? Oh, well.
Yes, okay. I'm sure. And Windows isn't either. No. When you program for those platforms, you design your user interface to the pixel. And they have some APIs to do some transformations on top of that, but they don't work very well, especially on Windows.
Okay.
And I don't know too much about the other you mentioned, Cairo. But I am doing something that not even Cairo can do, that is to handle nonlinear geometry, non-linear coordinate systems. What I want is that the user can choose whatever coordinate system he wants, including logarithmic, cartographic, whatever.
So you have Lorentz points in your user interface where things just sort of get sucked in.
Yes, you can do that. In fact, it can be useful, for example, if you have a projector, and you are projecting on, for example, a spherical dome, okay? You need a graphical transformation, a non-linear transformation to convert the image to, so that when it is projected on that curved surface, it looks right, okay? That's not easy to do, and it would be trivial to do on Morphic 3.
Well, why... How is this not just using OpenGL?
OpenGL doesn't support nonlinear coordinate systems.
Okay.
Besides, OpenGL is just for rendering. It is not a complete graphic framework, okay?
True. Okay. Why would you want a nonlinear graphics system?
There are some domains where you could need that. One, for example, is to draw maps. You need the cartographic coordinate systems. That there are a lot of them, and all of them are nonlinear. And you also might use it for things like sheet music, okay, or logarithmic graphs, like those used in audio. There may be many, many reasons. Even if you don't use any nonlinear coordinate system, Morphic 3 is different because it is not based on drawing and on usual drawing algorithm like the Bresenham's algorithm used to draw lines everywhere. And those algorithms try to draw shapes on top of pixels. I'm doing something pretty different. I'm using signal processing theory, the sampling theorem, and I am sampling signals at the pixels, at the pixel samples. This means that anti-aliasing is done pretty differently. It's done in a theoretical correct way, and anti-aliased pictures look much better than usual.
Well, that sounds like ray tracing a bit.
Yes, it is a bit like ray tracing, but in 2D and not 3D.
Oh, why limit yourself to 2D?
It is not a limitation. It's a completely different field.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's how I view it. Many people ask that and think, if you do 2D, why not do 3D? Well, 2D and 3D are different worlds to me. The applications are different, and the mindset is different. The sampling techniques are different. It's a different world.
So you're not using Monte Carlo to sample?
Monte Carlo to sample? I'm sorry, you got me. I don't know about Monte Carlo sampling.
Ah, okay. The Monte Carlo algorithm is pretty much the algorithm that most ray tracing engines use.
Okay.
It's efficient.
Okay. I haven't checked it. I come from the 1D and 2D signal processing field. Mm-hmm. I mean, audio processing and image processing. I never studied in detail 3D graphics. I never was interested in them.
Well, see, this is interesting. Morphic 3 is under the hood is working in a way that I never would have guessed that it would be running.
Yes, that's why it is a novelty, and that's why it is a high risk experiment.
Well, it's not something
you've never done. It's not clear to me that it's the correct way to do it. I just want to know.
So why did you call it Morphic 3? I mean, that sort of shuts the door on anybody taking that name if somebody does decide to make a chirographics era version of Morphic, for example.
Well, it's, if someone else wants the name, I might stop using it. I don't know. I just think that Morphic 1 is the implementation itself, that Morphic 2 is the implementation in Squeak, and that this could be the next step. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting it to take me so many years and not have it ready.
Well, actually, given that naming path, Morphic 3 should really be the Morphic implementation in the lively kernel in JavaScript. It's from self to Smalltalk to JavaScript.
Yes, maybe, or perhaps in Cola.
In Cola, yeah. Well, there's another project that's sort of been worked on for years and still does what it did at the start.
Yeah.
What kind of release state do you think QS is in right now? I mean, you're working in this and you've got the stuff you've been working on for all these years. What kind of state do you think it is in for other people to work with? You know, if I were to go to your website right now and download it, would I find something that is as easy to work with as standard Squeak, easier to work with, less complete, more complete? What would I find?
I would say you would find something that is much easier to work with Squeak. There is a lot less to learn about, and it is much nicer code. The code quality is better than that of Squeak. There are most likely fewer bugs, and there is for sure a lot less functionality. That's the key here. Quiz is pretty small, and it's only the kernel, and the kernel has been stable for many, many years in Squeak. So it is pretty stable, it is pretty usable. I am using it in a couple of commercial projects for quite some time, and I never run into any problem. I mean, of course, I found bugs and I fixed them, but most of the interesting things I fixed in Quiz was later added to Squeak 2 or could be added to Squeak at some time.
Well, actually, the fact that you say that it's been deployed in actual projects says a lot to me. One thing I learned when I did Bottom Feeder is that the rubber really meets the road when you decide that you're going to push something out for other people to use. That kind of separates the men from the boys, as it were, that anybody can build a project that they're the only user of. It's when you have something that somebody else uses that you find out just how good or bad your theories are.
Yes, I agree with that. And the most important project using Quiz right now is a set-top box video player running on a 100 megahertz custom processor. So it is a real test for efficiency, and it works quite well.
What's next with GUIS?
I don't know. Quiz is pretty close to complete, to stable. I don't think I have to add much stuff, and it is pretty okay. What would be good for Quiz is for people to start using it. For Quiz to grow and to continue evolving, it would need a community of people maintaining optional packages for it. That's what would be next for Quiz.
Have you talked to the Squeak board about Quiz at all? How it might fit into their plans for Squeak in general?
Yes. I suggested them to take it as the kernel for some future version of Squeak. That's what would be best for me. That's what I think would be best for everybody. And some member of the board liked the idea. So perhaps in the future something like that could happen, but I don't know.
Well, I think recently in the news I heard that Pharo was being forked as well. Am I right there, James, or am I just completely misremembering something?
You heard the Pharo was being forked?
Yeah.
Again?
No, I hadn't read that. I'm not saying you're wrong. There's the Squeak mailing list has so much traffic, and actually there's a whole separate Pharo list that I only just recently found out about. So I suppose I should subscribe to that if I wanted to find out if that happened. So no, as far as I know, it hasn't, but I wouldn't take my knowledge as definitive. I don't follow that stuff as closely as some people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Squeak community is wild. Like that. It's very much like the Linux community, everybody kind of breaking it off and doing their own thing. I think that's really good, but it's very confusing for outsiders. So, you look at the Squeak world, you decide to jump into Squeak, and the first thing you find is Squeak, which is overwhelming.
Yes.
Are you going to find GUIS or Pharo at that point, or are you just sort of going to be overwhelmed by Squeak and walk away? And I think the answer is no, you're not going to find Pharo or GUIS unless you go and ask people, hey, what should I be using? Yes. So I think the squeak board really needs to do something, and I'm sure they're quite aware of that.
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's part of the thing, though, is I've talked to some of the people on the squeak board about this, and one of the things they've said is that they would like to have a kernel that made it so that they didn't all these squeak ports forks rather didn't have to exist. And I guess maybe if something like QS became the kernel, maybe you wouldn't have to have quite so many forks, and maybe you could find out about this stuff. But that seems to be the primary problem now, is that, as you said, it's easy enough to create a squeak fork, and that seems to be the first thing that a lot of people do. And then nobody knows about the various squeak forks, and you just get a whole ton of them. So, I mean, I guess there's some news about QS coming out now. I mean, we stumbled across it, and we're interviewing you here on the podcast, obviously. Have you seen any increased interest in QS out, you know, in the last little while?
Well, you know, these last couple of weeks, I helped port stuff from QS into Squeak and Faro. So what I really think is that will make people have less interest in QS.
Oh, hang on, that's kind of the opposite of what you want there. As you yes. Probably like there.
yes, but... You know, if I did something that can be useful for other people, I prefer people being able to use it. Maybe it is in QS, in Squeak, or in Faro. I really don't care. I am not trying to steal people from using other Squeak forks. I don't usually think in that kind of things. I just do QS because I could not believe there wasn't a clean and modern implementation of Smalltalk 80. It is something too good not to exist. So I did it because I wanted to have it, and I publish it for anybody to use. If people want to use it, great. If people don't want to use it, well... That's okay, too. I really don't care too much. I'm not selling anything, that's all.
So, okay, what's next for you beyond GUIS and Morphic 3? What pet project have you got going right now, or are you about to start?
Well, I'm pretty busy with paid work, really. But I want to go back to Morphic 3 and to... bring it to a state where you can actually use it to do stuff. And the other project I have sleeping for several years is an audio editor for musicians based on the work I did for my master's thesis. I did some research on audio processing for my thesis, and I have some stuff that would be very cool to have in an actual software product.
It's definitely a theme with Squeak where you get people who are interested in graphics, music, and packaging Squeak.
I'm sorry, I don't think I understood what you said. That Squeak is appealing to people of those fields?
It seems to be. I mean, you know, take Craig Larter, for example. Very into music, and has done his own packaging system for Squeak.
Yes, okay. Yes.
So that's one example, and maybe that's all the examples there are, in which case I've made a very bad point.
There are other examples. Sean Maloney did the music subsystem in Squeak, and he really knows a lot about that, and he likes it a lot. I'm sorry?
But has he repackaged Squeak or done a graphics system as well?
And Dan Ingalls did the FFT and the Wavelet Transform, and he works on music and audio on Smalltalk for a long, long time too. I think Smalltalk is a great tool for these kind of things. It gives you control from the very high level to the very low level in an integrated environment. So it is very comfortable for doing music or graphics and stuff.
Okay.
Well, we got some questions from the audience.
Yeah, do you want to
let James?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and ask the questions here. The first one came up actually over in the IRC channel. And let's see. The question is, what are you using as a package management solution for QoS?
Only change sets.
Only change sets. So you're not using Monticello or anything like that?
No.
Okay. And then there's a question in the chat channel for our live stream, and that is, are you interested in the COG VM work that Elliot Miranda is doing, or are you staying with the VM that has been developed for Squeak, you know, traditionally?
Okay. Currently, Quis doesn't use block closures, and it is using the classic VM. The only reason for that is that I want to make it simple for people who use Quis. I believe Quis could be a very good system for learning Smalltalk. I really think it should be the preferred choice for teachers teaching Smalltalk to suggest to the students. So I don't want people to have any unnecessary problems with that. That's why I am using the classic VM. But when the most widely used VMs are closure-based or COG-based, I will indeed adopt them. I want the best. I'm a big fan of Elliot's work. It will be wonderful to use it for everybody using any flavor of Squeak, and I want to use it. It's not in a usable state yet, but it will. So I will always be using the latest widely available VMs. That's my policy.
Okay, so I guess it's kind of fair to say that you're not yourself all that interested in the VM per se, but you'll use whatever is useful and mainstream within the community.
Exactly. It's one of the parts of the system I want not to focus because there are people like Elliot who know really a lot about it, and because of time too, lack of time, as always.
We got a question from the audience here. I'm not sure how serious he's being, but he's trying to find out exactly where you diverged with Squeak. Is it a 32-bit object table or a 16-bit object table in your version?
It is Squeak. It doesn't use object table. It uses direct pointers, and they are 32-bit, like any other Squeak image, except those rare 64-bit Squeak image. Most Squeak image available are 32-bit direct pointer.
Yes. So, Dan, stupid question. Thank you.
Well, for someone who knows about Squeak, it's not a very interesting question, but perhaps for someone who doesn't know too much about Squeak, it is an interesting question.
Yeah, that's
if
true.
If you download the current Squeak or Pharaoh releases, they are 32-bit direct pointer, and that's why all of them can share the same VM.
Yes. And James is saying to the audience, and the audience smack down against, what good is having an audience if you can't, you know, smack them down? No, thank you, everyone, for the questions. Thank you, Juan, for answering those questions.
Okay.
I just throw out, is there any other questions before we finish off asking questions? Just got to wait a second for the audio to catch up.
Okay.
I think we'll take the crickets as a no, so... Juan, I'd like to thank you for coming on the podcast. It's been great having you here.
Thank you. I'm honored. You have had many very interesting people here, so I'm honored to be here.
Quick press record. We can use this as a promo thing. Yes, thank you very much for coming on the show. And we're all about Smalltalk, so we love hearing about Smalltalk in all its forms. And you have your own Smalltalk, so it doesn't matter where it came from. It's your own Smalltalk, so the more the merrier is what I say.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Bye.
In this next segment, I have Dave Buck with this week's Cimbron Design Minute.
This is David Buck with today's Cimbron Design Minute. When I'm developing a class, I find it helpful to group the methods into two categories. Core methods are the methods that know about the implementation of the object and depend on it to get their work done. Non-core methods don't really know how the implementation works. Instead, they call the core methods to access and to change the representation. The non-core methods provide extra utilities which users of the class would find useful. For example, a collection may have a method called size, which is a core method. The method isEmpty is non-core since it just calls size and compares the answer to zero. I try to make my set of core methods as small as possible. When I find methods that call core methods, but also directly access the implementation, I start to wonder if I'm missing a core method. Obviously, there was something that this method needed to do that wasn't covered by a core method, so it accessed the implementation itself to do it. I can usually refactor the method so it's completely non-core by adding additional core methods. This makes the implementation easier to modify because now you only need to modify the core methods to change the implementation. This has been the Cimbron Design Minute. Cimbron offers training and consulting in object-oriented development and the Smalltalk programming language. For more information, visit www.cimbron.com or email info@cimbron.com.
Up next is Randall Schwartz with a quick look around the Squeak world with Squeak News.
This is Randall Schwartz here with your latest Squeak News. You can find all this news and more at news.squeak.org. The U.S. Squeak Fest finished last night following on from the previous Brazilian event, and it was a great success. Perhaps the best way to give a flavor of the excitement of the events and the enthusiasm of the attendees is to quote Timothy Falconer's report. As I write this, I'm flying home from Squeak Fest USA. Sitting here staring at my laptop, I'm completely unable to find appropriate words to describe the magic and friendship of the last few weeks. So many passionate talks, so many stirring examples, so many last-minute details and surprises. I'm tired, that much is clear. Blame it on 3 conferences in 4 weeks and roughly 15,000 miles of traveling in between. Were it not for my many squeaker traveling companions, I have curled up to hibernate long ago. Truly the best part of the last month has been the company I've kept. Rita, Yoshiki, Marta, Kim, Scott, Alex, Bert, Ted, Bill, Randy, both Kathleen's, Abigail, and Milan. Sharing the adventure with people of such talent and humor has truly been an embarrassment of riches. As for the presentations, workshops, and hallway talks, there's just too much to say. With dozens of sessions between the two Squeak Fests, my mind's a blur with memories of enthusiasm and insight, along with the strength and motivation to support and expand our vibrant eToys community. Rather than summarize my recollections, I'll instead point you to the video on the Squeakland website. Scroll down to Squeak Fest Brazil and Squeak Fest USA. We've managed to capture nearly all the SqueakFest USA on our live webcast feed, although we lost the first half of the presentation from South Korea. Also, the final roundtable wasn't posted at the request of one of the participants. My apologies for the audio problems on the first morning. If you start at the beginning, know that the sound does get better. Also, if the video screen is at times too hard to read, the blame rests with the web streams, which reduce quality to improve bandwidth. We will be posting better video from both events in the future, particularly of the children's workshop, so stay tuned. I'd like to give a special thanks to Rita Freudenberg, our education director, who earned the Most Traveled Award for her trips from Germany to both Brazil and Los Angeles. When you total her air distance, she flew more than 40,000 kilometers, about 25,000 miles, which means she effectively circled the globe for Squeakland in the last month. Her insight, passion, and hard work in the last 8 months were instrumental in both SqueakFests. And as for her husband, Bert, her continuing efforts on behalf of the eToys community are unparalleled. Also, a big thanks to Marta, Bruno, Kim, and Catherine for tending to the many details of both conferences. Your hard work really showed. Most of all, I'd like to thank everyone at Viewpoints Research Institute for their time and talent in the last year. Your guidance has greatly helped Squeakland Foundation as we carry and take the eToys torch into the future. For Squeak Weekly News, this is Randall Schwartz. You can also check out my blog at methodsandmessages.vox.com.
If you enjoyed this week's podcast, please tell other people about it. We'd love to have more Smalltalkers and more developers learning about Smalltalk through the Industry Misinterpretations podcast. If you have feedback, send it to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com. Head on over to Facebook, join the Industry Misinterpretations group. Head on over to Ning and join the Smalltalkers group. Or head on over to Podcast Alley and cast a vote for the podcast. In the meantime,
Have fun with small talk.